Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that
blow. What's up, everybody? Yeah, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hearts with you. And what is going on, everybody? I hope everybody had a great weekend. It was a interesting week, to say the least, last week in the stock markets. We had new highs pretty much across the board, and we continued to see markets want to work higher, and at the end of the day, you can't fight them. We've got ridiculous NASDAQ that, again, is repeating the 90s. You can say whatever you want. The valuations are a joke. They're ridiculous. They will not be able to be sustained. Again, I'm not predicting the end of the world. I'm just saying straight up, okay, that the markets, there's no way that these valuations can be sustained. No way, zero, zilch, nada. All right, you can talk all you want. You can listen to these jackasses on TV, on all the major networks, talking about it's a new world. It's a whole new economy. The economy is great, and I will tell you that that's a bunch of crap, and that it's ridiculous, and it's so far from the truth that it's not even funny. Now, can we go higher? Absolutely. There is no reason we cannot go higher. But we are going higher because you have money flowing in to buy with a lack of no place else to go. You have too much intervention from the outside. You have too much manipulation. And the willingness to keep rates at ridiculous levels is dragging in innocent money that doesn't want to be here. In the meantime, again, there is no telling how far or how long the markets can go up. I can tell you that you're seeing a lot of bubble-looking areas if you look around. I think that NASDAQ is a bubble. I think that you look at Amazon is a bubble. And again, Amazon's a great company. I use them all the time. I just don't know that they can support the valuation that they're showing right now. You've got the Bitcoin in a bubble. All right. Again, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. In general, I do know that the way it's trading, and just by looking at any chart, you would say that that would be a bubble. I think that you get the bonds are now exploding. So when you look at these markets, you have to understand a couple of things. Bond markets are usually defensive plays. Bond markets are usually plays where people go to safety, kind of like the U.S. dollar. Well, interesting enough, the bond markets have been flying higher. The U.S. dollar has been getting crushed. So that's kind of weird, all right, kind of quirky. The stock market has been going higher, and gold has been going higher, and Bitcoin has been going higher. So out of those scenarios, something is not right. Something is rotten in Denmark, as they say. Now, again, I don't know which one it is. I don't know where it's going to end up. I will say with a 100% amount of certainty that the markets are in a bubble. Now, I'll also say that with no certainty that they will sell off at some point. The problem is always when, and what are they waiting for? Well, are they waiting? Is the London terrorist attack the start? Remember, we say that the sell-off will not come from economic data. Okay? That is an opinion of mine that I believe to be correct, that economic data will not have any effect on this market. And I think we've seen that if you even just look back at the jobs number that was on Friday, all right, the jobs number was 138, not very good. But yet we're at full employment. And of course, full employment and consumer high consumer confidence leads to recession. of course, if you're from my school, okay, you say that the markets, the middle class economy has never come out of the recession in the first place. So how can we go into another one? Of course, when you have the imbeciles at the Federal Reserve trying to manipulate everything, I think that shows you a much bigger story and a much bigger problem. Because, again, we know that price manipulation at the end of the day does not work. All right. Now, you've watched it with OPEC. You've watched the markets, the oil markets trying to be manipulated. And what have we seen? Well, since the initial OPEC announcement, which pushed crude oil up to over 55, well, it's now at 48 on three announcements of OPEC trying to manipulate price higher. So think about that for a second or two. If that's the case, then how can it be that price manipulation works? And it doesn't. That's the point. All right. So the Fed continues to think that they can manipulate through the dollar and through interest rates. And yes, it's working in an imaginary fantasy world that what it really has done is taken away the value of your dollars. So although you go, oh, I'm making a lot more money in dollar amounts, but it's going a lot, not as far. All right. So we talked about this the last couple of weeks, but full employment, all right, with less taxes means that people are not making as much money. So who are we kidding, okay, that everything is so good? But of course, you've got the imbeciles that continue to cheerlead markets on air trying to convince you that this time is different and that there will not be any issues. Now, if we just take a little walk down memory lane and we look at the last housing bubble, you know, right before the housing bubble, year, 6 months before, you had, there was many, but Jim Cramer, CNBC, buy, no housing bubble. Okay. You had Steve Forbes, billionaire. Okay. Of course, he didn't give a crap because he's a billionaire. Ain't going to affect him one way or the other. All right. But you had Steve Forbes, no housing bubble, keep buying housing. And of course, the greatest bubble builder in history, Ben Bernanke, said that housing prices should continue higher. There is not a problem. There is nothing to worry about. And of course, the minute they tell you there is nothing to worry about, you better start worrying, because of course that is the same story. This is the manipulation portion of our show. Okay, I mean, you know, when I don't need somebody to come out and tell me there's no problem. You know, if you're a sports fan, you know, and you've watched enough sports and you see that the manager or the coach gets a vote of confidence from ownership, what's usually the next step? Oh, they get fired. All right. So we're getting now a new warning that we're not in a housing bubble. Okay. And you couldn't prove it by me anyways, because my house ain't worth jack. But at the end of the day, all right, you are seeing a real estate bubble. You have too much debt. You have too many things going on. But we're starting to hear that we're not getting it. And I think this goes back into spoofing, okay? When you spoof markets, you try to artificially keep them higher by showing either a bid underneath or whatever. And that typically sends a warning signal that the end may be near, okay? And that's always something that, you know, concerns me, is when the end could possibly be near. And of course, we're coming up to a break here, so the end is almost near here. But in the meantime, check out one of our new sponsors, Audible Books. You can get a free trial through The Bubba Show. Go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show and check it out. Please do that for me. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day. And make sure we're trying to get to 400,000 downloads now, so go help me out there. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be back right after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Whoa.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and fresh back from the meetings of the Paris Accord, it is Jane King, yeah. LMX Media, the Ka-Ching Report, the one who brings good things to life. And so, Jane King, you were actually away last week, but you were out in the area. And how was the trip? And what did you think of the Paris Accord? What did you think of the poll?
Well, a couple of interesting observations. So I was in Zurich, Switzerland, and then southern Germany, like in the Black Forest. And I was meeting with and doing some interviews with some Swiss bankers, and then a wealthy German guy who's looking to invest more in U.S. tech companies in particular. And so we had a couple of interesting conversations. We talked about why Europe is so, growth slow. There's not really a lot of innovation going on, like all the exciting tech stuff's happening in the United States. And, they talked about just the culture and how, like, a lot of these places, especially Swiss, are, very conservative. I mean, these guys work for banks that have been around for 250 years. And, while the Swiss franc is a safe haven and, Swiss is a great place to put your money for safety, they're missing out on some amazing gains. So these guys are kind of trying to change that. So I thought that was interesting, just a real cultural difference between Europe and the United States and in terms of innovation and capitalism. And another thing I noticed was walking around Zurich, Switzerland, just no empty spaces for retail. I mean, every space was taken, and it was just so different than what I see in New York. There's just so much empty space right now, retail, and I think landlords charging a lot in New York. And I've walked around Zurich quite a bit. I mean, we walked 18,000 steps one day, just going from place to place, and there was no open space. So, it was interesting to see a different culture and how a country is run differently and kind of compare and contrast.
Okay, so, of course, we saw Donald Trump and pull out of the Paris Accord. And do you have an opinion? Would you like to share your opinion? And if not, then we can move on.
Well, first of all, like, everybody just needs to settle down. I mean, we talk about this every week, like the hysteria, like you think these grownups are a bunch of children. I mean, there's not everybody, John Kerry's like, all kids are going to get asthma, and people are talking about people are going to die. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it ruins their argument. And I really didn't know much about the Paris Accord until this came up over the past week. And it seems like it was kind of designed to even out the global economic playing field. They really wanted to reduce carbon emissions. They would have made China and India do it quicker than what this accord reached. And so that was kind of my impression. I haven't read it. I agree with the fact that, it's not just wonderful and awesome on face value, that everything needs to be looked at and studied and weighed. What are the consequences? What are you really getting out of this? What does it do to America? I mean, I think what, the president did was, even his daughter wanted to stay in that. And for him to go out and go, no, I am not doing that. And everything, it just shows that I think what he did getting out of the accord showed that he really has America's interests first. Like, he doesn't care if Elon Musk doesn't want it and Bob Iger doesn't want it. And he's getting pressure from 99% of the people in the media. He still believed in what he was doing, and he did it. So I think you have to admire that. Maybe they'll renegotiate it and come up with something, because everybody wants clean air and clean water. That's really important for future generations, but it can't be done, on the back of just America taking all the burden.
I wrote my blog, and I just said, look, I'm in 100% agreement with Trump for pulling out, and he wants to redo the agreement and not just be, one-sided, where we're footing the bill for everybody. I mean, it's about time that somebody decided that we shouldn't have to foot the bill for everybody. And look, if you really want to get rid of, the pollution and all the other stuff, take big oil out of the picture. You don't think, let me ask you this question. I'm a firm believer, okay, that if they really wanted to, we could use solar power and they could do it cheap enough. But because big oil really is still the boss of the world, they're not so fast to do that. Any comment?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I don't know enough about the economics of solar. I mean, I know that it's, creating jobs extremely fast. I mean, what I really like is a lot of different energy sources. And I don't like being all, you know, completely reliant on crude oil like we were for so many decades. I like the fact that the U.S. is creating its own crude oil and fracking and solar and wind. I like all of that together. But I think it's risky to depend too much on one single energy source. And I think we all have to try to make it as clean as possible, but also make it economically feasible. I mean, I know that's like, you know, an ideal world, but I think we can do it. And we've done a lot. I mean, since 2000, in terms of carbon emissions and cutting carbon emissions, we've really done a lot already. And oil's been, you know, oil's okay. The price is down, but the companies are doing okay. And, you know, solar has grown. So I kind of like the way things are headed right now, cleaner, but still a diverse group of energy sources.
And I can agree with it. I have no problem with any of it. I'm just saying that, you know, we cannot continue to be, you know, the sole subsidizer of all the world energy. Now, I'm also a firm believer, though, that we could do solar power for probably less than gas. But again, you're talking about we're not ready for it yet, and they haven't, you know, it's like the tobacco companies when they, you know, had to stop advertising cigarettes, and they all got in other adventures. And of course, they're all prospering, not selling as many cigarettes, but they're certainly prospering in other areas. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, when we look at what's going on, I think that is where Trump really just says, hey, you know, look, this is what we're doing. We are tired of paying all this money for everybody else, and we're going to work to be better. And I think that's it. So what do you think?
It fits with this whole UN thing, too. I mean, you know, he made Angela Merkel mad, you know, talking about how NATO, they have to step up and pay. I mean, it fits with the other themes that he's been pushing lately. It's like, we're tired of paying for everybody else, and you guys have to pull your own weight. And that totally makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, this is, we can't afford it. I mean, the U.S. is broke. We have a ton of debt, and other people don't have skin in the game. So, you know, it's like once they have skin in the game, they start to care a little bit more and make decisions a little bit differently. So I agree with them.
I've always said, listen, before Trump ever talked about running, I've said that the United States of America is a big business and needs to be run like one. And we can't just keep giving. You can't just keep giving everything away. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, we've got this whole talk about growth and where we're going to go. And I go, well, you know, we're going to have too many problems in Congress, too many problems in the Senate. We're not going to get these things done. And if you're expecting 3-4% growth this year, you have no chance. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it looked like it was possible in February and March, but I mean, here we are in June and we don't have tax reform. We don't have a new healthcare bill. They're going to be going on vacation soon. I think 3-4% growth can be very, very difficult this year at this point.
Yeah, well, I think it'd be obviously impossible. Again, I think the real problem is this goes back to the drain, the swamp comments. And it's not just the left swamp. It's the right swamp, too, because, listen, there's a lot of his own people, or supposedly his own people on the same side, that are not so fast to help him out because, you know, they don't want to give up their special perks, mm-hmm. like their own special pension plan and their own special health care and that nice little, you know, between $175,000 and $250,000 a year salary. What do you think about all that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the American people are seeing like just how deeply entrenched this is. I mean, this is what happens when you have, I mean, really since, I mean, I'm going to say Reagan, bad leadership. There are people who weren't decisive, who didn't, you know, kind of, you know, were too concerned about being liked, reaching compromises. I mean, you've got, you know, layer upon layer of bureaucracy and people protecting themselves, and the swamp just got really thick and people just got really embedded in it. And this is, you know, for some people who are in it, this is really painful for them. So, you know, the Paris Accord, you know, it was interesting because he could have stayed in there, you know, and it wouldn't really, you know, have hurt anything. I mean, we were already there and, you know, it wasn't like a binding agreement anyway. But he really, you know, took a step and got us out of there. And he's done this numerous times, like even with the trade deals. He's brought to attention something that nobody's talking about and changes the argument, changes the whole discussion about it. It makes people really think. And I think that's good. I think it's good for the country.
Just like Jane King, she makes you think and she brings good things to life. And she is Lila Maximilian, the Kitchen Report. Jane King, thank you so much. It's always great to have you on.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media. The Kitchen Report always brings good things to the Bubba Show. And, of course, you know, other than good things to the Bubba Show is we've got our new futures class starting tomorrow, June 6th. Learn how to part-time day trade futures. Check it out at BubbaTrading.com. And also June 14th, our new hedging program. Also check that out at BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, we want you to go to AudibleBooks.com, AudibleTrial.com/The Bubba Show, and check it out. You can get the new book from my friend, Danielle DiMartino Booth, Fed Up. It's a great book on the Fed, and she worked inside, so she can help you out with that. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, LibertyTalk.fm. Download the show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge. We'll see you back here right after the break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt Demeter, what's up, my man?
I'm good. How you doing, Todd?
Well, I don't know. I'm getting a little irritated that the volatility continues to shrivel up like a guy like George Costanza jumping in the pool. I'm getting tired of the lack of activity. I don't care where the markets go in general. I just care if there's some trade. And unfortunately, there's just been really very little trade from a two-sided market. And that's kind of annoying to me. But what are you seeing, my man?
Yeah, no, it's annoying to me as well. Well, the S&P broke out last week, in my opinion. I was looking for 2422 as, you know, sort of the ceiling. And actually, it was right around 2419 when it popped at that level. It just, you know, just went vertical. So that's to me where the bearish pattern broke. So now I expect that we have, you know, we have more upside, probably another, you know, up to another 100 points. The clearest pattern I have right now is the NYSE composite, and this is one that has remained incomplete for months. It's been bothering me that that even though, you know, it's turning bearish on the S&P and some other indices, you know, the NYSE, which is is the broadest measure, hadn't peaked, and that was right around 12,000, and now it's just a little bit below 12,000. It's a declining target. It's at about 11,990, and it's declining by about 20 points per week. And I think that's you know, the next target up. That's about a little more than 2% higher.
Right, but declining target of 20 points a week. So, what's that in percentage wise?
Well, yeah, it's 20 points on a. Almost 12,000 index, so
right. But you're looking for another 200 points, right?
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, looking
so,
for about.
So it's coming down about 10% a week, right?
Yeah, okay. It is. So I mean, you know, that's a very good point. I mean, it will all depend on when the line, how much time goes by, when, you know, where we'll be when we peak.
And again, look, obviously, there's no way to know 100% which way it's gonna do from here for sure. But we do know that certainly. The markets are probably, you know, due for some kind of consolidation here at worst or at best. Again, they can go higher, but I would think you would see some consolidation coming up here for the next few days. What do you think?
Well, you know, they're definitely overbought, and it would make a lot of sense for them to consolidate, to slow down and chop, certainly work off those very short-term overbought conditions, and then make another move higher. So how long does it, you know, stop for? I don't know, but you know, they could, you know, on the other hand, they could, you know, they could push higher and just get more overbought. But
100%. I mean, again, yeah. I'm not saying that it can't go up. I'm just saying that they could consolidate, and mm-hmm. certainly we could see consolidation for you know, a week, a month. Obviously, we can't predict it, but we've seen extended periods of consolidation. I think the biggest factor here is what's going to happen with the VIX and the volatility. I mean, as long as it keeps dribbling, and I know you believe it's got maybe a 7 handle in it before it's all said and done, but as long as it continues on here, it's going to make it very challenging for short-term trading.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been looking for, you know, new all-time lows in the VIX. I think you have been too. Right now, this is another situation where the target is rising. So this is this one's a rising target. So right now it's at about 725 is the rising target. And by the time we get to September, it'll be back right around where we are now. Once we get to September, it'll be in the mid nines.
All right. So, you know, again, does it mean we're going to have to wait until then for any action? Of course, obviously that can change, and those patterns can change, as you've so eloquently noted. Things do change, and things do happen. So what's your view is the Russell? Now, you'd been bearish the Russell for a while. Is the Russell still in a bearish pattern, or did the Russell break out as well?
The Russell did not break out. It's still contained by – it has a sort of sequential resistance lines that correspond to bear patterns that go up to about 144. So I always refer to IWM because that's the vehicle we use. But in IWM, we're looking for no higher than 144. You know, we did, you know, it certain weeks it'll be the the Russell will be the outperformer just because it's usually the, you know, the laggard. And, you know, year to date, it's still, you know, lagging pretty badly. It has not broken out. It's still it's still at a declining resistance, and it's got another one above that it has to get through to break out as well. So to me, it still feels contained. IWM should not go above 144. So you know, we're flat. We were short some calls at 144. We added some short exposure in Russell at the end of last week.
But 144 would be an all-time new high, though, right?
It would be. I mean, it would be a new all-time high. But for me, it would not be breaking out from. It wouldn't be a major. It wouldn't be a breakout until 144 was exceeded.
All right. No, I understand. And again, obviously, you know, to me, it looks like a blow off on Thursday, Friday, high volume straight up. But well, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And now the Nasdaq. How far can the Nasdaq go now? This thing just is like a never. Your first target was hit easily. Your second target was hit easily. Now what's the next target?
Well, we were talking about. I think last time we talked about Nasdaq, I was talking about 6,500 ish. And we haven't quite gotten there. It's coming in for me about 6,511 as of today. So that'd be my target up as 6,511 in the Nasdaq composite.
Wow, it's amazing, and it's amazing that the Nasdaq is up 20% and the Russell's up 3% for the year. That doesn't always fit the right model. It wouldn't be what you would expect, but again, that doesn't matter. The charts are the charts. And what's the what are the commercials doing with the volatility futures and, of course, their short futures? I mean, they're getting smoked based on the short futures.
Right. No, they are. They are, definitely. They did have that volatility spike up to, what did we get up to, 17 or something like that 2 weeks ago. So they were able to get out some of their contracts on that spike. But it was a two-day spike, and that's not long enough for them to really unload a massive position, which they had. They over the past week and a half, they've been buying as the VIX has fallen back below 10, or closer to 10 and below 10. They've been buying. They're up to 83,000 contracts long. I usually think of the way I've seen it. You know, when it gets extreme, is around 100,000. They don't typically get much more than that. So they're long 83,000 contracts. They've been buying. I expect. We're going to see more buying as long as we stay in the nines. They're going to keep on buying. And then another thing is the VIX options are highly skewed towards calls. So the pricing on the calls is much more expensive now. And this, you know, this fluctuates as the VIX does. But the premiums for calls down here in the nines is over 10 times the price for calls than it is for the puts. And going out to June 21st, that expiration that's 3 weeks away. That's those are 35 times more expensive, or maybe 40, roughly.
Right. So it's obviously, of course, that's just a big demand. That's the backward skew in comparison to what we normally look at, which would be a put skew. But so at the end of the day, you know, we've seen some action, but again, it's been basically even Thursday, Friday, with a couple of attempts to sell, the markets immediately turned and ran, and apparently there's nobody stopping in the way. I mean, volume is lightening up, but again, what's your take now, you know, with oil? I mean, oil has been, you know, thrashing lower, and it looks like it wants to go lower. Now, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a bounce here, but it certainly made lower highs since OPEC made the initial announcement back in November.
Yeah, at this point, you know, because we got short when we got up to, you know, the just above 50, and, you know, that's worked out. We've taken that short off. We have support just above the, you know, the prior low, about 45.50, and then there's another pretty clear support at 42. So I don't expect 42 to be broken. 45.50, that could be broken. But I'd actually be looking to get long if we made it to 42.
I'm looking for 40, but I've been on that bandwagon since it were 55, and I'm not changing my tune here. Well, I mean, I just think that that's a good number, and I know that you believe that eventually you go lower than that. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
But you know, again, I think that, you know, price manipulation never works, and I don't think this time is going to be any different. You know, with you know, OPEC trying to manipulate price. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, absolutely. If we go, you know, below 40, I think they're going to be, their hand will be forced. They're going to have to, you know, cut supply. But you know, we'll see. You know, there's a meet where we're peaking out, where we peaked out in early April, and where we just did recently here in May. They're both along, you could just draw a line between those two peaks, and that's a major resistance line. If we pop through that, until we pop through that line, we're, you know, oil's, I wouldn't be long.
Right.
Unless we fall to 42, well, in which case I think the risk reward
is,
you know,
the reward favors. I agree. This is the Bubba Show. Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on analysis and technicals. And, of course, make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to stop out here for a break. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back with more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check out his website. Check out his newsletter. Pretty good information. Full details. Gives me my start for the week. So, Matt, the dollar, you know, I thought we'd see a little bit of a bounce in the dollar at some point. And it, again, for the third week out of five, it closed on its low tick of the week. And it doesn't look like, I'm sure it'll bounce, but right now it doesn't look good, which does not really correlate with the weakness in oil as well at the same time. So it's kind of a weird anomaly. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been looking for, 95.80-ish for a bottom. And, you know, we're getting closer. I mean, we, you know, at the end of the week, as you mentioned, we closed on the low in the 96s. I think, you know, we're looking just to get long at 96 or, you know, thereabout. And then I think we should get that rally. You know, like we said, conversely, the euro should be getting up to, our target there is 114. And, you know, we're at 112. So, you know, the two kind of fit together, those two prices. That's where we think reversals will come from, 114 in euro and about just below 96 in the dollar.
All right. And have you started buying dollars already?
Yeah, we did. When we got to 96.80-ish, that's when we went ahead and bought one contract. Uh-huh. But we're looking to put on you know, three or four contracts. So it's a quarter position.
Well, you know, you're not trying to trade it for 5 minutes. You're trying to build a position, so you'll start here a little bit above where your target is, willing to step in and buy more without loading up, you know, and continue to buy until you get the turn, correct?
Absolutely. To be honest, though, it's probably a bit premature, but it should be a large trade. So I expect a large bounce. And it's one of those things where, you just don't want to miss it because occasionally, targets are missed by a little bit and then you're upset that you missed it. So that's why we put that on. When I look at what the commercials are doing in the dollar, they're still heavily, heavily short. But they have been covering for the past 3 weeks. So each week they've been taking shorts off. And I expect that by the time, we get down to, 95.80-ish, they will have either neutralized that short or gone long.
No, but I mean, just like I said, when you're looking for a trade and you're going to build a bigger position for a longer term, then you want to start getting in ahead of time because you don't want to miss if it does miss, and you want to catch the turn if it turns quicker. So it just means you're willing to buy in, whereas if I'm day trading and I'm minute by minute trading, I'll miss the trade because I'm trading on a much shorter time frame. You're trading on a longer time frame here. So that's why, it's different, which is why I have no problem with you stepping in and buying. I mean, it makes sense, overall that you would buy early because, again, if you expected it, then you should look to do it. I mean, I'm looking to sell the euro here at 113, even though it can go to 114, but I'm going to go ahead and build a bigger position there. And I'm looking to sell bonds here too. What do you think of the bond market? I think they're kind of nuts, but again, that doesn't mean anything. I know you liked the TLT for a while. Are you still a fan?
Not right here. With TLT looking for about 126 on the upside, and we've come very close. 125.77 was the high last week. So I think, it's due for a pullback. It's getting overbought on indicators. I think it needs to, if it's going to push higher, probably needs to recharge. We need to have a pullback first. I'd love for it to, my ideal scenario is we get a pullback here, and then we get a big rally, because I'd love to short it much higher than this. But we're looking to, for at least for a short term trade, maybe longer, but we're going to probably get short this week. If we can get anywhere close to 126, we're going to be short for a short term trade. It may turn into something, much more bearish, because we have targets that are a lot lower. We also have targets that could bring us all the way back up to the highs, but I think it's probably lower first.
Okay, then, no, I understand. Yeah. I mean, again, it just from a pure logic standpoint, if the Fed is going to raise rates, then bonds shouldn't be going up like they're going. I mean, just there's a lot of things that don't make sense at this particular time and place when you're seeing highs here. But again, it doesn't matter that we're not worried about what the fundamental stuff are. We do watch the technicals, and that's what they tell us. So speaking of technicals, now we've got the cattle and hog markets. The cattle and cattle up for 4 days last week, up every day, both fats and feeders. I know you check one model, but every day up huge every single day, sparking again. I know we were kind of looking for maybe a sell-off to be bullish later, but now what? Now that we've seen these straight up moves.
Well, we want to get. I don't think it's peaked out. So, but I don't think we're done to the upside. But it's in a spot where we just can't buy because it's not on support either. We're looking for a pullback, essentially in both. But I like that cow ETF because it's easiest for me to read. We're looking for a little bit of a pullback there. And then we're going to try to get long, and then we'll probably have 5 to 10% more upside from there. And then you're going to have, I think, a very major peak and a huge sell-off, which we'll want to get short.
And hogs the same thing. I mean, hogs are making new contract high after new contract high every day. I mean, at some point you would think they'd have to have some sort of a sell-off.
Well, I would think so. Let me take a look at hogs. They're definitely overbought. That's the thing. We wouldn't buy it right here. We need a pullback. I'm not seeing really a good reason to get long or short here. It could go either way. But when I look at the cow ETF, which is both, it's cattle and hogs. It's half and half. We'd be happy to buy that. I'm just trying to get the level.
No, I understand. It's fine. I mean, yeah. Again, it just to me, I look at the chart. It's going parabolic. I mean, you know, if you fell from a building like that, you'd be dead. I mean, it's just it's an amazing amazing pattern that you know. Again, we can't totally predict it. And then, of course,
just by the way, 2355 was the level we'd be buyers of that ETF, Kyle.
Okay,
and we'd be sellers at about 28.
Okay. And then what? Now, of course, you've been bearish soybeans, and they finally got cracked pretty good. Looks like they had a little blow off to the bottom, and they reached about 909. And of course, wheat remained fairly strong, and corn seemed to be the strongest last week. What's your take of the grains?
You know, same story for me. I still more bullish wheat than the other two. Corn just for me, you know. Not really doing anything. It's kind of odd. You would think it might fall with soybeans, but you know, our target lows in corn have definitely not been achieved. But you know, going to soybeans, it has reached a short-term support. They are oversold. It definitely would be very normal to have a bounce here. So you know, you have lateral support coming from you know prior lows, not too much further down, but it still hasn't reached my ultimate target low. So you know, longer term, still bearish.
And I'm
actually, you know, at this point, I can probably kind of give a sense of where I'm looking for. I think you know, final lows are going to be about 10 to 15% lower than here.
Okay, yeah. And of course, gold and silver. You know, gold broke out nicely on Friday and popped pretty hard, and they look pretty strong. What's it look like there for you?
Gold and silver are tough calls here. We were long silver up until Friday, and then we sold out of our position. We were looking for 1760 on the upside. That was sort of our first plausible resistance where we could get another sell-off. It's just above, you know, the 50-day moving average. Gold's now above its moving averages, and the commercials are selling fairly aggressively into the move from this point forward. Probably for both metals, actually, definitely for both metals. We saw that in silver this past week. So, if we can, you know, we have resistance right here, right where we closed on Friday, just at the highs of Friday. So if we push a little bit higher, it'll break those resistance lines, and then we can you know get back in on the long side. Otherwise, I'm looking for a pullback down to the lows of about a month ago.
Okay. So, and just I know you don't track it, or maybe you do track it, but just quick comment. We got about 15 seconds on Bitcoin. I think it looks like a monster that's gone straight up. That should looks like a big bubble. Any comment on it?
Yeah, you know, I own Bitcoin. You know, I think it's a cool asset, and I hope it turns into something big. But as far as the technicals on it, I do have the charting tools at this point to be able to chart it. The high that we got around 2750 or whatever. If we pop through that, it keeps going and it really has nothing to stop it.
All right. We'll have to get this next week. This is the Bubba Show with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you later, everybody.
Quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.